Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Emotional contagion, the ability to detect and mimic the emotion of others, is a hot topic among those who study companion animal behavior, and especially that of dogs. Meanwhile, those who study and successfully work with food-producing and wild animals mutter, "It's about time." They don't mutter this because they feel the need for such enlightenment regarding an unknown phenomenon. Quite the contrary. Emotional contagion has been a subject of concern for those with an interest in animal welfare for years. And their interest reflected that of farmers, ranchers, wildlife biologists, and others who routinely interacted with animals worldwide. Logic argues that ancient pre-humans and humans needed to recognize the reality of emotional contagion because their own survival depended on it. Failure to correctly read anxiety in flocks of sheep or birds, herds of cattle or wild bison or water buffalo, or packs of wolves or wild dogs carried a big penalty. At best, it would result in the loss of a life-sustaining source of animal products essential to human survival. At worst, these animals could cause debilitating injuries or death to those who fail to properly interpret the meaning of this inter-animal communication. Perhaps because trial and error learning in which error resulted in going hungry, maiming, or death, those early humans undoubtedly also learned that animals could pick up human emotions. The more observant and successful among them probably also realized how some animals could catch human emotions and display them too, with beneficial or harmful results. To emotions, or more correctly, the distinct physiological changes associated with them, established the foundation of this human-animal nonverbal emotional exchange, fear and trust. By this time, you've probably realized that emotional contagion in humans and dogs is merely another way of describing the physiological changes in the human-animal bond. Unfortunately, though, the contemporary definition of the bond as it relates to companion animals, and especially to dogs, has strayed from these roots. Ask many people what the term human-animal bond refers to, and they'll describe all the good things animals do for humans that make people feel better. Once that all-positive, anthropocentric definition of the bond became established, it was inevitable that some party poopers would point out that sometimes people and their pets have negative emotional effects on each other, too. Those who considered it a new concept gave it a new name, emotional contagion. But if you own, periodically interact with, or routinely work with aggressive companion animals, you probably figured out this form of human-animal nonverbal communication yourself out of necessity, just like your ancient ancestors did. You would think that because we only have two emotions that really matter, fear and trust, recognizing that emotional contagion exists would be relatively simple to do. And although it takes time and commitment, it can be relatively simple for people who learn to trust their ability to properly address fearful animal behavior to relax fearful animals to the point that the animal eventually learns to trust those people. Once this occurs, the resulting mutual trust restores the human-canine balance. Likewise, given enough time, confident animals who trust their ability to address fearful human behaviors can ease the fears of their fearful people, too. But when the nature of the bond is such that a fearful person consciously or subconsciously gravitates toward a fearful dog, and the animal opts for a fear-fight response, life becomes complicated for human and canine alike. Unfortunately, such combinations occur a lot more often than you might expect in the current rescue climate. People who feel vulnerable initially may find it empowering to rescue a dog they perceive in comparable or worse shape than they are. These kinds of relationships also attract more of their share of positive public responses, which further reinforces them. Sometimes well-meaning but naive mental health professionals and therapists even will recommend that their vulnerable patients and clients adopt such vulnerable animals. When fearful dog and fearful person wind up in the same household, emotional contagion makes it possible for their fears to feed on each other instead of neutralizing them. If this occurs, two responses may occur simultaneously. Some fearful people may insist that it's the dog's job to prove that he won't bite before they'll trust him. This makes sense because changing behavior is hard work. So if we can get others to change and please us, then we don't need to do this. Alas, when you ask these folks what exactly they want the dog to do to prove he's trustworthy, they struggle to come up with anything beyond a nebulous, "I'll know it when I see it." Meanwhile, their equally energy-efficient fearful dogs face their own existential crisis. How can they overcome centuries of selective breeding to catch and reflect human emotions and ignore their own fear? How can they trust a person who's afraid to protect them? Logic says it would be suicide for any fearful animal to trust such a person, but especially a companion dog who must depend on that person to fill all of the dog's needs. At this point, we have the equivalent of a contagious human-canine emotional standoff. Neither person nor dog can let go of the fear without exposing themselves to danger. The resulting paralysis, unfortunately, may persist until some outside event makes it impossible to ignore the situation any longer. Sadly, that event, as it relates to aggression, usually means the dog bites someone. What happens then not only depends on the magnitude of the fear the dog and the owner are communicating to each other, but also that being communicated to them by the individual being bitten and anyone else the dog's aggression frightened directly or indirectly. Instead of one fearful dog and one fearful person engaging in fearful emotional contagion with another, we have a fear fest with multiple fearful individuals infecting each other. This potential for such negative outcomes makes addressing a human-canine fear standoff seem the lesser evil by comparison. Previously, I mentioned that fear and trust generate distinctly different, mutually exclusive physiological effects. Because of this, we can't trust an animal we fear, no matter how much we may say we love them. Depending on how you define the physiology of love, some might go so far as to say it's impossible to love someone you don't trust. But be that as it may, there's no shortage of owners too frightened to let go of their fears to help their fearful dogs who truly believe they love their animals very much. But if someone must let go of the fear to help a dog whose fear potentially could cause the dog and others great pain, who should it be? The person or the dog? Although the law may weigh in on that after the pain has occurred, prior to that, this is a question that those who engage in fear-based emotional contagion with their dogs must answer for themselves.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.